Thank you to VanCity for supporting us and helping us create this podcast. Without their support and help by purchasing us microphones and other resources that we would need, we would not be able to create this podcast and share this information to you. So a big thank you from Colton and Damon.
Welcome to Lost Stories, the show that dives deep into conversations that aren't talked about enough about residential school survivors and their stories that need to be heard by more people. I'm Damon Douglas, and I'm here with
Colton Bradley. Thank you for joining us today. On this episode, we're going to be talking about Alfred's lost stories. We're going to be diving deep into the interesting story of his residential school experience, and you should stick around for this episode. It is very interesting on a true survivor about the Jack Lake Residential. Thank you.
The first topic that me and Colton are going to be talking about are Alfred's experiences that he had witnessed within his experience at the Jack Residential School. The second topic that we're going to be talking about is Alfred's experiences before he actually attended the residential school and how his life was and how his day-to-day basis was.
The final topic that we're going to be discussing and covering today is Alfred's experience after residential school. And that's going to be his experiences just as he got out of residential school and his experiences as he's going to grow older into the man that he is today. So we're going to be covering all that in this podcast today. So make sure you stick around for all parts of this podcast, and I hope you enjoy. Alfred's experiences in residential school are hard and bad memories for Alfred. He went through a lot of violence and beatings while he was attending the Jack Residential for little reasons like speaking his native language and other reasons like not going to bed on time or not eating his food. These were hard times for Alfred, seeing as he had to wake up at 6 a.m. and be asleep by 9 p.m. In each dorm room, there was about 25 Indigenous children, although the girls and the boys were split up when they first arrived at Le Jack Residential.
Alfred was taken at the young age of 9 from his family, and we will be giving more information about that in the second part of our podcast. Anyways, Alfred lived in McLeod Lake before he was taken to residential school, and McLeod Lake was about 90 miles north of Prince George. He was removed from his family and attended Le Jack Indian Residential School, located in Fraser Lake, BC. He stayed at Le Jack from 1958 until 1961.
Alfred seemed to hate a lot of his teachers and dislike most of them, but there was luckily two of his teachers that he actually quite liked, Mr. Brown and Sister Maria. These were two of his allies while being at residential school, and he says that they were one of the reasons that helped him get through his experience. Some other of the challenging things that he had to go through was learning English forcibly in 4 months is extremely hard. I'm sure you can imagine if you've ever tried to learn a language and speak it fluently in a couple months, it's not an easy task. Alfred and the other students had to do this in only 4 months, and they did succeed.
We have talked about Alfred's experience when he was at residential school, but some of you might be wondering how his life was before he actually went to residential school.
And that's what we're going to be talking about now in the second part of this podcast. Alfred was living a calm and simple, plain life. He would enjoy his time with his family, and he wasn't going to public school at the time. He would go into the forest with his father and help his father with fishing and trapping and other duties that his father needed to do. Alfred could not speak English because of this. He only knew how to speak his native language, Sakani. With his father and his family, this was not a problem, but attending residential school, he needed to know how to speak English, which became a problem for Alfred and the other students.
Alfred had many traditions with his family. They would sing songs, they made crafts together, and they would follow legends like as their culture. And Alfred mainly lost all those traditions when he had to attend residential school. And after his residential school experience, he was actually trying to get those traditions back and reconnect with his family.
We're going to just touch on the experience and how Alfred was taken away to residential school. This is a quote directly from Alfred. "One time we went to the store. My mom said, 'You're going to go on a bus ride.' She didn't tell me where I was going. She just said I was going to school. And I said, 'What school?' I didn't speak English at the time. I only spoke Sakani." This was said by Alfred while he was getting taken to Lajack Lake Residential School. As you can see, Alfred was taken at a very young age, and it was a very traumatizing experience for Alfred. And I truly do feel for the other children and Alfred that were taken in harmful and scary ways from their homes as they were being brought to residential school.
Alfred to this day is still suffering from the trauma he accumulated while at residential school.
Alfred has a lot of built-up trauma and anger towards the residential school and the communities that support them. There's a story from Alfred that goes like this. "I was in a grocery store one day and I saw one of the workers from my residential school. I had a large urge to attack this worker, but the fear of jail was too much for me." That is the quote that we received from Alfred during his interview. As you can tell, there's a lot of built-up anger towards the residential school community. And I would like to thank all of you for tuning into this podcast today for this episode of Lost Stories with
Damon Douglas
and Colton Bradley. I hope you enjoyed this experience of Alfred's story. I just want to touch on some calls to action that we've been thinking about before we end off this podcast. We'll start off with Damon.
"We call upon the federal government in collaboration with survivors, Aboriginal organizations, and the arts community to develop a reconciliation framework for Canadian heritage and commemoration."
The second call to action I'd like to touch on is, "We call upon provincial and territorial governments in collaboration with survivors and their organizations and their parties."
"We call upon federal government in collaboration with survivors, Aboriginal organizations, and the arts community to develop a reconciliation framework for Canadian heritage and commemoration." And the second call to action we would like to touch on is, "We call upon provincial and territorial governments in collaboration with survivors and their organizations and other parties to the settlement agreement to commission and install publicly accessible high visible residential school monument in each capital city to honor survivors and all the children who were lost to their families and communities." And the third one that we would like to touch on is, "We call upon the Pope to issue an apology to survivors, their families, and communities for the Roman Catholic Church's role in spiritual, cultural, emotional, physical, and sexual abuse of First Nations, Inuit, and Métis children in Catholic-run residential schools. We call for that apology to be similar to the 2010 apology issued to Irish victims of abuse and to occur within 1 year of issuing of this report and to be delivered by the Pope in Canada." And that wraps up our three call to actions. Make sure you've subscribed to this podcast and tune in for next week's episode that is about a girl who tried to escape residential school but ended up getting caught and survived the whole Indian residential school experience.
To finish off this podcast, I just want to give a big thank you to Van City for all the help and all the things that they provided for us. So one last big thank you for getting us microphones and sponsoring this podcast. As more and more episodes come out from Lost Stories, I just want to say a big thank you to Van City, and this podcast wouldn't be able to happen without them. Goodbye. Still no